Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for spending the last day of this year with us this morning. We're so glad that you are. If you're watching online, we want to say welcome to you. Wow, can you believe it's already over? We're heading into 2024. We were just talking backstage. Do you remember the Y2K chaos? Okay. That seems like nothing now, right? I mean, we've been through, that was 23 years ago. That is amazing how time flies. And been through COVID, been through craziness, and it's only ramping up, isn't it? It's only, the craziness of the world is only ramping up. Well, we're so glad you're spending it with us here this morning. Let's take a moment of honesty. How many of you are wearing a Christmas gift this morning? Way to go. All over the room, all over the room. It's great. It's great to be together. You can show it off out in the courtyard later. We're going to have a fashion show for Christmas gifts. So just get in line and show it off out there. Hey, this week and last week were some special service times. We're combining our two services into one. Next week, it goes back to our normal schedule. So we have an 8:30 service and a 10:15 service. Not this week, but next week also starts our Wednesday night get-togethers. We call it Wednesday Night Live. That starts on the 10th of January. This session is a 10-week session. We're going to have a break in the middle. We're going to do 5 weeks and then have a break for Valentine's Day. And I think that's the week, if you don't know about this, it's pretty fun. We have a line dancing dinner here called Dudes Dine and Dance. And so that's going to be, I think, on that Friday night of that week. And then we'll have 5 more weeks of Wednesday Night Live. Wednesday Night Live is bring the whole family. We have a dinner buffet from 5:30 to 6:30. And then you can throw a couple bucks in the donation plate. And then we have stuff for the whole family. So we have multiple classes for adults. Have some options there, different topics, different studies that you can come and do. And so we want to encourage you to join us for that as well. But we're really glad that you're here today. Really glad you're here today. Now, a second moment of honesty. How many are so glad Christmas season is over? Okay? Not because it's bad, but just because it's so busy. So busy. And so we're wrapping up this morning our Christmas season. We've been walking through 4 accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible. 4 historical accounts of his life. One was written by Matthew, one was written by Mark, one was written by Luke, and the 4th was written by who? John. Okay. And so we've been looking this Christmas season, taking snippets from some of those different accounts, trying to see what comes to light, because Jesus, when he came into the world, was called the light of the world. So maybe some fresh ideas from the Christmas story. And so we've been looking at the light of Christmas, and we saw over the first couple of weeks from Matthew's account of Jesus' Christmas story, we saw that God is a promise giver and a promise keeper. And we're just thanking the Lord for his promises that he keeps. That maybe there's something going on in your life and somebody's let you down and they didn't keep a promise that they made to you. And we just can fall back on God, and we enjoy that he is a promise maker and a promise keeper. We get that from Matthew's account of the Christmas story. And then we looked in Luke's account of the Christmas story and how the angels came to the shepherds and says, peace on earth. So Christmas is all about peace giving. God came to bring peace. Not always relational peace, but peace between us and him, and then the possibility of us between each other. God brought peace. So the light of Christmas as a peace giver. And then last week we started, we're going to wrap it up this morning, this idea of the light of a gracious truth teller. Anybody grow up memorizing the 10 commandments? Okay. Number 1 is thou shalt have no other God. Number 2, so on and so forth. Well, we're going to learn this morning that those commandments are great and they're well-intended and they're authentic, but rules are just black and white. And there's not a lot of grace embedded in rules. And so we learned last week that Jesus, when he came, John calls him full of grace, which means over and over again every day, God is gracious, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's kind. And if you just need God's grace in your life, John tells us the Christmas story brings grace. But we also see in John that Jesus is not only a gracious man. And if you had a dinner with Jesus, you would have really enjoyed the time with him, because he's just full of grace. But he's also a truth teller. He's a truth teller. John says that he is full of both grace and what? Truth. Jesus will always tell you the truth. I'm in John chapter 1 this morning. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh," and we know the Word is a title of Jesus, "and He dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in verse 17, "The law was given through Moses," that's the Ten Commandments, "but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Jesus came to put flesh on the rules and grace on the rules, so that we can live a life with Him that's not just so regimented and legalistic. So grace and truth. Jesus will always, always, always tell us the truth. He's full of grace. Full of grace means He's gracious and merciful. This is what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, last week, but He's also full of truth. Full of truth. So this week, we want to pour into this second word, truth. What is truth? Boy, that's a debate in our culture today, isn't it? Where is truth? Where do you find truth? What about your truth, my truth? What is truth? Well, we understand that truth in its definition means real reality as it really is. Some of us don't live in truth. That's a joke. That was a joke, okay? All right? Wow. Truth is real reality as it really is. I can make up ideas. I can pretend that life works like this, or relationships should be like that. I can engage and initiate all kinds of actions, but are they real reality as it really is? Because if I engage in actions or ideas that aren't truthful, eventually they break down and they cause harm. And so I want us to focus for a minute on what is real reality as it really is. And if we break down truth in its barest essence, here it is. You ready? Truth is God's thoughts. That's truth. God's thoughts are truth. And if we can put our minds around that, it really frees us to live a life far more pleasant and far more successful. Truth is God's thoughts. Whatever God thinks is truth. Let me ask you a question. Whatever you think, is it truth? Turn to your neighbor and say, "No way with you. No way with you." Just because I think it doesn't make it true. Is that true? Just because I feel it doesn't mean it's true. Is that true? So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is truth? And if we scrape away all the cultural ideas or my own personal opinions about truth, and I get down to brass tacks, as they say, truth is God's thoughts. What He thinks about Himself, and what He thinks about how the world is wired to work. And if I can wrap my life around His thoughts about Himself and about how He wired the world to work, I will live in truth. And we're told that truth will set you what? Free. So if I can understand God's thoughts about Himself, if I can understand God's thoughts about how the world is to work, and I will align my life with His thoughts about my marriage and about my finances and about my career and about my personal choices and about my opinions, if I can wrap my life around His thoughts, I will be set free from things and ideas that will drag me down. Because God wants us, believe it or not, to be set free from bad ideas. Because He loves us. Now, there's a couple of things about truth that we have to understand. Number one, truth needed to be revealed to us. Did you know that? We would have never discovered it if it hadn't been revealed to us. We would have never discovered God's thoughts about Himself if He hadn't revealed them to us. we would have never understood God's thoughts about how the world was wired to work if he had not revealed them to us. Human beings left on our own, apart from God, could not discover God on our own or discover his thoughts. His thoughts, which are truth, needed to be revealed to us. And praise the Lord, they are revealed to us, because God wants us to be free from bad ideas and things that capture us. So he reveals to us his thoughts about himself. He reveals to us his thoughts about how the world is wired to work. And in revealing those things to us, he sets us free from bad ideas. He revealed himself to us in three ways. His thoughts are revealed through creation. Yesterday, we drove up with the kids and grandkids to go sledding. And if you haven't taken a drive up the mountain lately, the creation is phenomenal this time of year. Just the majesty and the beauty and the design to it. And you can't almost help drive back down and think, wow, God is an incredible designer. Because he's revealed it. Look what it says in Romans. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. We can see God in nature. We can understand his nature. We can understand the power that it takes to make something like a mountain. We can understand his attributes of design, and that all of it, all of creation is designed to allow human beings to thrive because we were the pinnacle of his creation. We learn so much about God if we just look around us. So much so that it says there that everything can be understood by what has been made, so they are without excuse. What excuse about what? Excuse about saying God doesn't exist. It's impossible to take an honest look at the natural world and come to the conclusion that God can't exist because he's revealed himself. And the attributes that we learn from creation could not have been understood by us if God hadn't created them so that we can learn. Number two, it's revealed through his word, through his spoken word and through the Bible. We have this supernatural book that he compiled and preserved so that we can learn his thoughts. We can learn his thoughts. Psalm 119 says it this way, the sum of your word is what? Truth. The reason the Bible is full of truth is because it simply contains God's thoughts, and God's thoughts are truth. And so if I want to understand about God and I want to understand how the world is wired to work, this is probably the greatest source we have, because these are God's thoughts, and God's thoughts are truth, and truth sets me free from bad ideas. So I got to investigate stuff in this book so I can learn his thoughts and his truth, so that I can understand how to be a good husband and a good father and a good worker and a good citizen. It's revealed through his word. And then finally, as we're told here in John, grace and truth were revealed and realized through Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 17 again on the screen, for the law was given through Moses. The Ten Commandments were just 10 rules. Now, they were good rules, and they were rules for success. Because again, God wants to reveal truth to us to set us free from bad ideas. And the Ten Commandments are just a way to stay away from bad ideas that end up causing hurt and ruining lives. But the person of Jesus, man, it would have been so fun to walk with Jesus. And I'm so excited when we read the last two chapters of the Bible that one day we get to walk with him again. And when we walk with Jesus again in heaven, he's just going to start telling us his thoughts, and it's going to blow our minds. Because it's truth. It's truth. The second thing that we need to understand about truth, not only did it need to be revealed to us, and here's a hard one, it can't be created by us. We weren't created to create truth. Let me say that again. We weren't created to create truth. We were created in the image of God. The first two chapters of the Bible lays it out very clearly. And when it says we are created in the image of God, it means God gave us a mind, emotions, and a will. Just like he has a mind, emotions, and a will. No other created thing has all three of those. We have a mind that we can reason. We can think things through. We can create cell phones and iPads. So far, I haven't seen a beaver or a bear with an iPad. Okay? We're living in big, nice houses. They're still living in stick stuff. Why? Because we can reason things out unlike any other thing in the world. We have emotions. We can love. We can genuinely love. It's not just that instinctual caring of a mother for her cubs. It's genuine love for each other. In fact, we can even have love for our enemies because we have God's emotions. And thirdly, we can choose God's will. We can choose what's right. We can choose between good and bad. So we're created in the image of God with mind, emotions, and will, but we're not created to create truth because truth is His thoughts. We were created with mind, emotions, and will so that we can discover truth, so that we can explain truth, and so that we can apply truth to our life. But we got to get a handle on this, that we as human beings were never created to create truth. We can't do it because we can't create new God thoughts. He does that. He does that. But boy, our world has, I think, gone down the slippery slope of believing we can create truth. And now there are all kinds of cultural issues that are being heatedly debated, and all of them are being called truth. And I want you to know the only truth are His thoughts. We were not created to create new truth. Now, it's not a new idea for a culture to try and create new truth. It's been happening throughout human history. Ideas have come onto the global scene and said, this is the new truth. This is a new idea. This is a new origin truth. This is a new gender truth. This is a new political truth. And as those things have stood the test of time, they have found to be lacking because they turned out not to be in alignment with God's truth. We can look at all kinds of things like communism. It was declared the new social truth. And about 150 years later, it's proven not to be the truth. We can look at all kinds of things. Why? Because we weren't created to create truth. During the Age of Enlightenment in our world history, where so much discovery and scientific law was penned down, the scientists of renown like Newton and Einstein, they understood that God, if God existed, He created a world of order. So we don't need to create truth. We just need to discover God's scientific rules that are already in place and reveal them to people. And that's what they did. They revealed the law of relativity. They revealed the law of gravity. They revealed the law of second law of thermodynamics. They didn't create those laws. They didn't create gravity. They just studied it, discovered it, and explained it to us. Why? Because we don't create truth. Because truth is God's thoughts. And we can't create God's thoughts. We just discover them and explain them. And we apply them to our life. And truth was realized in Jesus. That's what John says. And what that means is God's divine thoughts were passed into a human nature. Jesus was this incredible, unique person who was 100% God in nature and 100% man in nature. So God's thoughts were pressed into a human being, and we have this one-of-a-kind person named Jesus. When he spoke God's thoughts because he was God, and he is God. Therefore, what Jesus spoke was truth. That's why John says Moses gave some laws, but the laws didn't include grace and all the truth. Jesus came to put flesh on it so that we could understand what God was talking about. And when Jesus spoke, because he spoke God's thoughts, he spoke truth. That's why Jesus could say in John 14, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. He wasn't being braggadocious. He was just simply saying, I am God, and when God speaks his thoughts, he speaks truth. And if we accept his truth, it sets us free from bad ideas. The other thing that we learn in the Bible about truth is truth always has two focal points. Truth always has two targets. You ready? Number one, God's glory. When God shares his thoughts with us, it's always to point out his glory. And when God shares his thoughts with us, it's to show us our good. God doesn't share his thoughts with us so that he can smash our life. If Jesus were just full of truth and not full of grace at the same time, he wouldn't have been that much fun to be around. Because we saw this last week. Grace without truth leaves people trapped in bad ideas. But truth without grace pushes people away and becomes a belligerent faith. So Jesus here was full of grace and truth. And when God shares his thoughts with us, it's always for his glory and for our good. Do you believe today God wants what's best for your family? Do you believe God wants what's best for you, for your finances, for your mental health, for your emotional stability, for your ability to get along in relationships, for you to be successful at work? There's not a single topic of life that's not covered in some way in the Bible. God has shared his thoughts with us about every conceivable issue that we can encounter in life, and all we have to do is discover it, explain it, and apply it to our situation. Why? Because it's for his glory and for our good. It's for our good. Truth always reveals something about God's nature and his character. Hey, you want to learn about God? You want to learn about what he's really like? Just listen to his thoughts that are revealed through creation, through his word, and through Jesus. Creation tells us a ton about God. The Bible tells us a ton about God. Jesus told us a ton about God. Just listen to his thoughts. You want to know how to live a good, productive, least stressful life? Not stress-free, because we're living in a broken world. But a good life for our good. Truth sets us free from false ideas and realities. Hey, I don't know what you're heading into next year, what decisions you have to make, what circumstances you're going to face, and maybe none of us entirely know, but I do know this. If you're heading into a known, a decision, you're going to get married, you're going to have a child, you're going to get a new job, you're going to invest in Bitcoin, whatever it is that you're going to do, okay? I just want you to know God has thoughts about that. And he's communicated those thoughts. And if I can discover what those thoughts are and understand those thoughts and apply them to my decision, it will lead to the best decision because God has revealed his thoughts about the decision you're going to make, and he's revealed those thoughts for his glory and for your good because he really wants what's good for you. But if I ignore God's thoughts, and I try and figure out this decision on my own, if I never consult his thoughts, then I'm never really consulting truth, and therefore I'm susceptible to bad ideas because truth is what sets me free from bad ideas. But here's the key. Here's the key. Am I going to align my life with truth, or am I going to make truth squeeze into my life? There's a huge difference. If truth is God's thoughts and he wants what's for his glory and for our good, then when I'm living my life in 2024, I want to squeeze my life into His truth. I don't want to just force His truth to squeeze into my life. Does that make sense? Because then I'm just using His truth as a tool to get what I want, but I'm living however I want anyway. But if I will take my marriage, and if I will take my parenting, and if I will take my personal choices, and if I will take my business practices, and if I will take my finances, and if I will take my mental health and my emotional stability, and I will learn God's truth, discover them, understand them, and then apply them to my decisions and my life, life will become better. Because it will set me free from bad ideas. But most of the time, what we're hearing in culture is, I have my truth, you have your truth, I'm creating truth because I want to live this way. And so I'm creating truth that fits how I want to live. And when we do that, just as ideas in past history have come to proven not very good ideas in the long run, so we're encountering some ideas today that, given the test of time, are going to fail because they weren't God's thoughts. They weren't God's thoughts. And we can see this all over the place in our culture today. One simple example, the first two chapters of the Bible tell us that God created the world and He gave Adam and Eve two job descriptions. Number one, be fruitful and multiply. And number two, take care of the earth, till the ground, tend the garden. In our culture today, God established back in the first couple chapters of the Bible the way human beings are going to fulfill those two commands, be fruitful and multiply, and to take care of the land. The way that you're going to be able to do that is because He created male and female. And in our culture today, we believe that there's all kinds of genders. Okay? And if you're struggling with gender, I'm not trying to be condemning. I'm just saying, in the long run, it's not going to pan out because it's not His truth. It's not His thoughts. He already gave us His thoughts on that. And the more a culture aligns itself with those thoughts, the better a culture will be. And now we can take that area in science, because human beings, for all of our history, have always tried to reinvent truth that fits us. And so John tells us, wow, if you really want to be free from bad ideas, if you really want to build a life that's good, discover His thoughts, explain His thoughts, and apply His thoughts, because the truth will set you free. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. So as we move into the new year, just let me encourage you, before you make a decision, before you take a big step in life, whether that's taking a new job or whether that's dating somebody or asking them to marry you or moving into marriage or moving to a new location or what you do in your finances or in your mental, emotional health. Before you make any of those big decisions, let me just encourage you, investigate God's thoughts on the issue. Investigate it. Investigate it through Him, His word. And I know that takes some time and some energy, but investigate God's thoughts on the topic, because there's not a topic of life that the Bible doesn't address in some form, whether it's a truth, a principle, or a moral, and apply that principle, truth, or moral to your situation, and you will be set free from bad ideas. You'll be set free. But then I have to take my life and give up my plan and align it with God's thoughts so that I can be set free. I'm not just going to take God's thoughts and manipulate them to fit what I want in life, because that's creating my own thoughts of truth. I don't know about you, but this is such a freeing way to live, isn't it? I mean, to think that I don't have to create truth. That's actually very freeing. That the weight of trying to create truth for life, wow. That's a heavy burden to bear, because what if I'm wrong? But instead, just looking at God's thoughts because he is truth. And when I take his thoughts and I discover them and I explain them and I apply them, now I'm within my wheelhouse of creation. I wasn't created to create truth. That's way above, as they say, way above our pay grade. We're created to discover God's truth, to explain it, and to apply it, and it will be for his glory and for our good. So as you move into the next year, whatever your goals might be, whatever your New Year resolutions might be, if you're making some, just make sure before you set those goals in place, spend some time investigating God's thoughts on it. And then align your goals and your plans to the truths of God's thoughts, and you will be set free from bad ideas. And how many of us wish somebody would have told us this 30 years ago? How many of us have made some bad decisions over the years? Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, you should have raised your hand too. You should have raised your hand too. And then finally, let's wrap up this morning with this. Another exciting closing idea is that we're the ambassadors of grace and truth. If you're a follower of Jesus and you really hold the Bible as we do above us to teach us and to lead us, it's not below us that we can nitpick out of it what we want so that we can keep our own life agenda. This is the truth, and the truth sets you what? Free. And if you have the truth, let's share the truth. Let's share it. We are ambassadors of grace and truth. Last week, we talked about this phrase that I read years ago called firm centers and soft edges. Firm center means I stand on truth. I'm not compromising God's thoughts. No matter what culture says, I stand firm. And in my core, I have a firm center. But on the edges, when I meet with people, when we talk with people, we have soft edges. I'm not talking about soft edges, okay? Okay? Which have gotten softer the last couple of weeks, okay? I'm talking about how we interact with people, because we can be so firm on the inside that we become rigid on the outside, and we can't have a conversation with people because it makes us mad. And I want to tell you, Jesus got mad sometimes, but it was never because someone had a question. Jesus was very firm on the inside, but very soft on the outside. So let's go into 2024, and let's be people who have firm centers, standing on God's truth. But as we share his truth, and as we engage with people about conversations about life on the outside, let's be very gracious and very kind. Peter told us this. Hey, always be ready to give an account for the hope that lies within you. Did you read the rest of the verse? Always with grace and reverence, because we're the ambassadors. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. Dear God, we're so glad that you exist. We're so glad that your thoughts are truth. We're so glad that you revealed many of your thoughts to us, not all of them. We're going to get to heaven and see you, and we're going to learn some things that never even crossed our mind, because there's so much more about you that you haven't revealed that we get to discover. But Lord, you have revealed all that we need for life and godliness. So Lord, help us to not fall into the trap of believing that I get to create my own truth. But instead, help us to live in the freedom that your thoughts are truth, and all we have to do is discover them and explain them and apply them to our life, and it will be for your glory and our good. Because you created this place, you created us, and you did it with a design, and you hardwired it to work in a certain way. And the more we align our lives to work within the realm of how you created it to work, the better life is. But Lord, our human nature as a whole has always rebuffed submitting to your truth. We've done that all through history. So Lord, help us to be salt and light as your followers. Help us to align our life with your truth and not the other way around. And as we engage this next year in life, may we investigate your thoughts. Whatever decisions, whatever place we're going, whatever issues we're facing, before we jump ship and jump headlong into those decisions, Lord, help us to pause and investigate your thoughts. And then, Lord, as others engage us in conversation about our faith, may we have firm centers but soft edges, because you were full, John says, of both grace and truth. And John put grace first, which is interesting. So before you were truthful and blunt, you always exhibited grace. May we be the same. Give us a new year, Lord. Whatever's going to come, we give it to you. We have no idea what 2024 is going to. There's so many prognosticators out there saying so many things, and all of them are experts, Lord, and we have no idea what's going to happen, Lord. But we're grateful that you sit above time, you sit in the heavens. You've already seen 2024 completed and in the books before we've even lived one day of it. And we can trust you because you bring us truth and goodness. Thanks for bringing us here together today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.